dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello and welcome in to show 312 of SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. I'm one of the hosts of this here affair. I will introduce the others momentarily, but first I want to tell you that SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time. And we want to say hello to the gentlemen who know it best, the SVC. First of all, say hello to John Bruce. John?
Howdy.
Howdy. How is you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing great. Happy to be back in the studio and excited to talk baseball and softball.
Yeah.
This week, as I feel like I know a little bit more about that.
Yep.
But I enjoyed talking track, and I look forward to this.
Okay, we're gonna get on with it. But first, say hello to Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, guys. I'm glad John mentioned that. You know, this being show 312, people get a chance there. Show 311 was a highlight of only track. We were able to go down through some of the SVC meet results there. So tonight on this agenda, we'll go a little bit more the baseball softball route. But again, make sure you check out that track show as well.
All right. And what's on this agenda for show 312 there, Shane?
Well, as always, we want to give a shout out to three of our major sponsors there, Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, for all their work in the vocational work there, the high school and their adult programs, as well as Advanced Services and North Fork Animal Clinic. Throughout the show, we'll look back at the regular season briefly. We want to highlight some of our reactions to the all-league teams for baseball and softball. Look for some storylines into the postseason for baseball and softball. So again, throughout, as always, Bruce will give a shout out there to Advanced Services and to North Fork Animal Clinic and the Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center to drive each segment. But those are some of the bullet points I have on the agenda there, Bruce. So as always, I'll kind of let you take over and tell us what to talk about and when to talk about it.
All right. Well, first, let's just get some opening thoughts here as we look back. What's your final take on the regular season for both the baseball and softball? John?
Really, for baseball, I think people will look at maybe the overall of the league and think, oh, man, it's not that good of a year. But the league went 50-36 in the non-conference. So even if this is a down year, mm-hmm. that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So, you know, Westfall and Uniota, you know, distance themselves from the rest of the league in the 14-game SBC season. Huntington and Zane Trace were able to get Uniota once, and Uniota beat Westfall both times to share the league. Man, it's a good league. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what happens in the postseason. I think that it's a solid league that just keeps improving as the season progresses. And, you know, you saw a lot where I think last year we were going to be pretty senior heavy as a league, and this year not nearly as much. And it's where you saw some slow starts for some teams, like that Athena team that had, I mean, really two kids back that had played any on varsity. They start off 0-4, but if you saw the schedule that they played, all of those teams are just top level, and that's why it took them a little longer to get going. But man, they're tough. They're going to be a tough out in the tournament. You know, and you look over at softball and the regular season in the non-conference, the softball league was 50-21, which kind of stands out a lot on the fact that softball played 15 less games than baseball. But still, really impressive, especially for a league that we didn't know how good it was going to be. You know, hasn't been a great start to the tournament with only two teams getting out of the sectionals. But I don't think that should put a damper on how great of a league, how great of a year it's been for the league.
Well, guys, on the baseball side, the word that comes to my mind is improvement. And I guess it makes a lot of sense off what John was saying. I just think at the beginning of the year, you had five or six teams in the league that were staring at one, maybe two, three at the most, you know, kids with varsity experience. Some teams were maybe a little bit more blessed with depth of young athletes, kids that have played baseball maybe at a higher level up through junior high or into their freshman, sophomore year. Or maybe they were really elite pitching and catching, so they were able to figure out the rest of it. But improvement really jumps out at me. I know these teams, as you watch them play, John, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, just playing a lot cleaner baseball, just a lot better baseball. And then on the softball side, I've said it all year long, it's been fun. It's been offense. It's been, you know, scoring. It's like swing and hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
And we had that concern going into the tournament, that, you could live or die by the long ball. In some cases we've had some teams with some excitement, you know, the Adina win jumps out at me with the excitement there. You know, all the way down, I believe it was all the way down to their last out and hit the home run focus there. And then they win at 9, but you know, you also had some teams that, you know, played pretty well, getting better, and they just come up a little bit short. You know, I know Southeastern just a little bit short there, Huntington just a little bit short. But all in all, it's been just a fun year to be back at it in the spring. And last year certainly makes you thankful for that. And you know, hopefully we'll still get a couple teams make a run at it here on the softball side, and then baseball getting ready to get going. You know, history tells you usually half our league will give a go at it, and hopefully that's the case here again this spring.
All right. We will look closer at baseball and then softball here in just a little bit. First, we want to talk about Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They're Southern Ohio's most trusted provider of heating and cooling services for your home and business for over 20 years. Whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance, the team's available 24/7 to respond. And looking out at the weather in the coming week, we've got those 80s creeping in. So, and I don't mean the 1980s, I mean 80-degree weather and humidity as well. So you might be giving Advanced Services Heating and Cooling and Refrigeration a call sooner than later. Call 877-947-4499. Look them up on the web, advancedservicesHVAC.com. You can make a consultation there on the website as well. Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration, over 20 years serving Southern Ohio. Well, guys, let's start by looking at baseball. And maybe give me some of your reaction to the all-league team for baseball.
Well, John, let me start by just giving a voter perspective, and then maybe you can kind of give it from a couple different perspectives. I guess the thing I would say is this year's first team is really a who's list. I mean, it's elite. And I'll be honest, as a voter myself, obviously not allowed to vote for Brock Blanton. The other 8 kids on the team or 8 of the kids that I voted for. I think you could argue some spots here and there. This kid should have been, you know, a spot or two higher. This kid maybe moved down a spot or two. But nonetheless, I think it's really, in my opinion, hard to debate those top 9 kids in the league. What I tell people all the time when you're dealing with an elite league like the SVC is everybody's going to feel like, hey, these 3 or 4 kids deserve first team. Well, okay. Well, you look at that first team and you tell me which you know 3 or 4 you're bringing off. It's not a 13 list, you know what I mean? It's a 9 list, and that's just kind of the way I feel about it. So my first reaction, Bruce, would be that the top 9 is really, really elite. And even though you could debate a little bit, you have a lot of pitching on there, which is normal. I think that's sometimes what drops a Carson DeBoard, a Titan Williams, a little unfairly. I've been screaming for years that we should vote it as a pitching staff, then turn around and vote it in terms of an all league players list. But again, that just there's a lot of hoops to jump through to make that type of change in the league. Maybe someday we will, you know, but until then, under this current format, I guess I'll just speak out in terms of the coaches. I think you'd have a hard time arguing against the nine that were up there. Now, does that not mean that there's always going to be four or five kids that are really, really deserving on the second team to maybe bump up? Sure. There's probably four or five kids on the honorable mention list that could have been second team. That's because we have a great league, and that's going to be the case every year. So that's kind of my reaction from the coaching side. You know, John, you can wear whatever hat you want, maybe just kind of give your thoughts from that point moving forward.
Yeah, just based on the players, the teams that I saw this year, I have no issue with any of the nine on first team. And like you mentioned, there's some kids that are right on the start of second team that are could have been first team in a lot of other years. They're definitely first team talent, but maybe they just don't get there this year. But there's a few of them that will definitely get there in the coming years. So I have no issue there. I have a big issue with I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. Well, I think Cameron DeBoard probably should have got more thoughts towards player of the year. Finishing third, that means he clearly didn't. I know there's a couple coaches that did vote him as player of the year, which, you know, just kind of what we were hoping and expecting. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Lucas Blackburn being player of the year. Absolutely nothing wrong. Crazy strikeout numbers. I believe led the league in doubles. Is certainly leads the league in strikeouts, but also had a really high batting average. So, I mean, Lucas is very deserving. I thought Cameron was slighted by a couple coaches 2 years ago, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happened again. Maybe it's because he's a twin, and they don't know which one's which really would be a sad indication for somebody in the league. But I mean, over the last two seasons, he's 14-1 pitching, and one of the better outfielders in the league, and one of the better hitters as well. So I thought I was hopeful. I didn't expect him to win it for some other things that have happened, but he's such a good kid that I was hoping that people could look past that. But he's I'll tell you what, Mount Vernon has Lucas Blackburn, Cameron DeBoard, and Gavin Free from this year's SBC. That's pretty solid for them. I'm excited as they go into college as well. And they're going to be playing with someone you know pretty well, Shane. And that's great. But yeah, like you mentioned, I don't see anything wrong with the nine players that are listed, because I think, that's a heck of a lineup and a great pitching staff. And it's not like they're kids that are just pitchers only. So like a Ben Nichols isn't just an elite pitcher. He's an elite hitter as well. So, I think that's what really makes those players that are like two-way players stand out even more, is the fact that they're all really good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned. I know, you know, with, you know, you're mentioning Cruz McFadden up there pitching for them. I believe the Cottle kid from Portsmouth Clay is going as well. So I'm glad to see them recruiting our area, play some outstanding baseball down this way. So, but you know, the other thing you hit on there that I think is interesting is it's really hard to crack the first team as a position player. It's really hard. Like when you look at the type of career Garrison's had, now he's got some pitching to go with it. So he's probably the one that's right there on the verge. But you think of catchers like Carter Glandon, Dax Easton at 500. Right. You know, Micah Geise's numbers are insane, and he's phenomenal. You've heard me talk about him countless times on here. Piketon, they're interesting because they have four or five guys that's hard to sort between. So their age and their depth is a little bit more why they kind of were able to be successful in the areas they were. So there's a lot of dynamics that go into it. We talked about Uniota's depth being insane. So a lot of these teams being a little bit more top-heavy probably lend itself to the all-league vote a little bit more compared to some of the teams that have a little bit more depth and so forth. But overall, the teams are out there, and it's a cool honor to be all-league. So congratulations to those kids, and a lot of those honorable mention kids coming back next year. So I'm sure they're going to have their day as well.
Well, I just wanted to throw out a couple things with, I mean, how many times in our league do we have multiple freshmen be all league? Like Crocker from Huntington and Patterson from Union. I mean, that's
good players. Good players.
That, yeah, really good players. Crocker's another one of those catchers that's, you know, an elite player. So it's just, I'm excited for the league. And also, how many times I know it happened a few years ago with the kid from Zane Trace that led the league in hitting and was honorable mention, but like a DC Daly from Unioda is currently seventh in Unioda history for RBIs in a season.
Well, I was going to say, like, doing the scoreboard, like, the other night, it's so funny you said that, because the other night I was typing the box score in there, and I'm thinking, this kid has to have like 50 RBIs. He gets like two or three every night. Like, it's. Uh-huh. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's had, and he might be the least lucky kid in the league too, because he hits the ball hard a lot at just people. But yeah, he's having just a great season, and as honorable mention, I think that shows the depth of the league and just how good of a league this is, baseball wise. When you have kids that are having seasons like that and are just honorable mention.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, what's the storyline for baseball in the postseason?
I think it's optimism. I think because of the improvements, I think because of the pitching, particularly in the number one spots of teams, not every draw is great. There's very few give-me's out there, if any. But I think it's optimism because of the growth that the teams have made. If some of these tournament matchups were taking place 2-3 weeks ago, I don't know. The fact that I've seen the improvements throughout, I guess the word I had down in my notes, John, would be optimism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree there. I'm just excited to see what our teams can do in Division Four, and then also like Westfall. The bottom half of their lineup has really started to come on late in the year. And to give them more than like three or four options in their lineup to go along with the fact that they've got Blackburn and Weiss that I would say are as good of a 1-2 punch as anybody in the Southeast District. I'm excited to see how they do.
I would think so.
Now with Unioda, we get to face a new Lexington team that has beaten Tri-Valley and Sheridan, which are two extremely good Division II programs. So there's no gimme there. But I'm excited for it. I like you said, optimistic. I think there's a lot of good things that'll happen in this tournament run for our league, and just really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Good summarization out there of baseball, the all team for baseball, and then optimism in the postseason. That's what we always like going into the postseason. So we'll do that to softball as well here just in a little bit. But first, a mention of Pickway Ross Career and Technology Center and their adult education program. It has full-time programs that are on the Ohio's in-demand jobs list. And right now, lots of jobs in demand, and you might be able to glean some training from the folks at Pickway Ross. They have health technologies, skilled trades, public safety, and of course, IT jobs as well, or IT training as well. Their full-time programs are on the financial aid eligible list for those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities, and that could help out in a great manner. The telephone number, 740-642-1288. That number again, 740-642-1288. Or you can get all kinds of information to go on their website, which is pickawayross.com. That's Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center and their adult education program continuing to sponsor our podcast. All right, guys, we turn things around here, and let's talk about softball. And we'll ask you the same kind of questions here. What's your reaction to the all-league team for softball?
John, I'll let you go first this time if you want, or I can read my notes.
Yeah, I'll go first. It's just the youth that is on that on the all-league team is kind of bonkers, because there's a lot of young kids on there that if you asked us before the season, we probably wouldn't have been able to identify them because of the 2 years away or the year away. And I think that just says a lot. You know, when I talked about the 50 and 21 in the non-league, I think that just says, like Shane mentioned with baseball in the postseason, I think there's optimism for the league moving forward. Kylie Kello, a senior though, was player of the year. And, you know, based on her numbers early in the year, definitely deserve it. I think where maybe Shane, you and I are kind of not as well versed to talk about this is the fact that we can't watch that much softball. Where some kids are a little lower on the list than what I expected. But that's just from not being able to see them every night. So, I do think it's definitely going to be a fun player of the year race over the next few years, because some of that young talent in the league is just insane. And I'm really, anxious to see how it continues to mature and improve as time goes on.
What about you, Shane?
Well, I think what jumps out at me is the summary that, you know, we were talking about earlier a little bit with the reaction to softball. You know, we're so used to being about pitching, and this year it's a little bit more hitting. I think that shows up here. I don't think, you know, we're used to seeing pretty much the top, I don't know, six, sometimes seven arms in the league making up your first team because of how much they truly impact game to game and throughout the season standings. And, you know, you see a little bit more offensive flavor, a little bit more positional player flavor, John, on this mm-hmm. list, you know, in terms of the offensive pop that Mullins and Book and Williams and, you know, Smith and Miller and Scott. I mean, all those kids, not really pitchers, they're doing it with the bat. So that's unique. But at the same time, you see pitchers being on. You know, when you look down and you see like a second team start with Alexi Lockwood and Abby Biggenheiser, Sidney Fogelsong. Those are kids that, you know, are first team talents. You know, perhaps maybe if they had some more pitching stats or some different things to go with it, maybe they move up. Maybe they don't. But it's just that's by far what jumps out at me is the diversity in terms of pitching and position player making up the list this year, where in comparison in past years, you would always see more of a pitching flavor, particularly in the first team.
All right. So let's talk about the postseason here too. What's the storyline for softball?
Well, I'll start here is, you know, it only takes a few. I mean, like that's kind of like my headliner storyline in terms of we've had some tough losses, but let's face it, John, the teams that we have that are going to go and represent our conference here at the next level are really good. So, you know, if they play up to their ability, you never know. We certainly had 2 to 3 losses. I thought we had a shot at, you know, anywhere from 4 or 5 teams with a chance. It didn't work out that way, but we certainly have some teams that if they play their very best are capable of advancing a couple more rounds, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. I liked the Edina and Westfall draws initially, especially with the possibility of playing SBC teams to possibly get a couple teams in the district finals. I still like our chances to get a couple of teams into the district finals. And with the way Westfall can pitch and hit, I like their chances to make a pretty nice run. You know, it's like you said, it only takes a few. It's if you tighten up your defense, you can get if you can pitch well and keep them off base or keep them off from free bases, you're definitely going to have a chance, especially when you can hit the long ball like these teams can.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. And the long ball seems to be back in SVC baseball and softball. As many times as we talked about that as well. All right, guys. Good summarization there of softball as well. North Fork Animal Clinic, our next sponsor we want to talk about. They're located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. They specialize in small animals, and their clinic where they do boarding and grooming along with veterinary services. Give Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff a call at 740-773-7387. You need more information, you can always look up their website at NorthForkAnimalClinic.com as well. That's North Fork Animal Clinic. Remember, boarding and grooming services at 740-773-7387. Okay, we're down now to our last little segment here, Shane. I don't want to give this away. I want you to talk about what our last show, I guess it'll be what 313, will be about, and the content and the special guests and everything that's lined up.
Well, and I wanted to make sure I had all of our scheduling in the correct order there. Next week the Sports Zone finale? Do I have that right in terms of?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I have.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that I was correct here, because, you know, when you get to the end of the year here, you start thinking back to all these different things. It's just kind of something kind of goofy and fun that we started there a while back, and it's kind of caught on. And what it does, it gives you a chance to kind of celebrate all the athletes from throughout the years. And, you know, what we do is we give some categories, and we think of, you know, best performance or best game that you watched, or you know, best comeback, or it could be all the way down to, you know, best storyline or whatever, anything and everything that you can think of a category for. And, you know, a lot of times we'll pick a male athlete of the year, a female athlete of the year. And it's just kind of, you know, even though I always joke, even though we pick it, that makes you the, you know, whatever SVC Sport Zone of the Year, whatever that means. The whole idea of the show is to highlight all the different kids and all the different programs that have done some things throughout. So when I think back about what excites me the most, would probably be some of the changes that offered us some things that maybe we would not get in other years, John. You know, obviously COVID, it's hard to just ignore COVID when you think back through the year, because it did impact so much, but it gave us a little tweak in the football schedule in the football postseason. Mm-hmm. And it gave us some different looks at basketball in terms of, you know, I just know personally hosting the sectional final, that was kind of a neat opportunity, and then going on the road against a really good team, that was different than playing in. So you get some of those different dynamics that I think would go, but I think back to Edina volleyball and what they accomplished, and you think back to some of these really good teams that get in the postseason. You know, do we appreciate just how good the Edina football team was? That type of thing. You know, do we appreciate what the Edina senior class has led this year in terms of, I don't know what the all sports banner is. Usually just depth of sports and depth of athletes. Usually Uniota is really good. I'd say Edina's had to be more competitive than mm-hmm. any school has been in a long, long time. So those are just some of the things I'll be interested to look back on. You know, we still may get some this week. You know, you start to get track kids into the district level when they go out into their division. So a lot of times these kids, Bruce, that we talked about on show 311 that finished second or third.
Yeah.
Well, a week later, they might be district champs. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's just different. It's a different set of, you know, opponents. You know, you may get some softball. Baseball, you may get some instant classics. The best game of the year may be played this week. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know. So that's kind of some of the things I look forward to. But the Sports Zone show is a great celebration of the year, is the way I would preview it. And I'm excited to think back, you know, over the year you know, break down what, you know, some athletes like a Preston Sykes had accomplished, or, you know, you think of Throckmorton in three to four mm-hmm. different sports, and, you know, Logan Bennett there, that group at Edina that I was talking about. And then, you know, you look through Uniota and some of the things they've done throughout their running again and so forth. So John, that's kind of where I'm at in terms of a celebration of the year. Some headlines that maybe you're looking forward to, or some teasers that you can put out there that maybe some things that you come to your mind right offhand.
Well, as a teacher, this has been the longest year ever. So when you're talking about some of the stuff that happened in the fall, I'm like, man, that was like 3 years ago. So I'm excited to just go back through my notes and just relive some of these moments that these teams had. I think with, you know, the seasons that like an Allison Basie had in girls basketball, the
playoff performance Tyler Gaulion had.
Yeah.
That was insane. Who was that against?
Levi Gaulion.
What I say, Tyler? Yeah. I'm sorry, Tyler, Levi. Yeah. I do that at least three times a year. And I think this is my third time, so I promise to Levi that I won't do that next week. But Levi, who was that against?
Menford.
Yeah, that was insane. Yeah.
That just some really special things that happened this year. I mean, like for me personally was when I covered two district championship games in soccer that were both wins in the area for SOSA and doing those games. And to me, that was just something that a school around here hadn't done before. And I was lucky enough to be able to cover both of them. And that was something that I'll remember for a long time. But then, like you mentioned, the great Adina boys year, and winning basketball and football, and then obviously boys track too. I mean, that's something that's really special. And you know, it's, you know, also being kind of selfish or talking for myself, our boys basketball running to the regional with Unieta was really, and just I'm excited to look back at these performances and different individual accomplishments to celebrate the year that our kids have had in our league, and really looking forward to it.
Shana, Bruce, for one teaser, we may have a new special category of the Jeremy Ward special.
Well, that would be appropriate. I was going to ask you, have you settled on all the categories yet? Because
not necessarily. I mean, usually what we do is we have a, you know, a long list, and a lot have just always been there. But you know, a lot of years you kind of almost if you have some different things you want to highlight, a lot of times you go. So if certainly when you give out some contact information, if people have some ideas, throw them.
That's exactly where I was going, Shane. You read my mind. We're getting to the spot where I've, for 300 and whatever many, 12 shows now, we've given you the contact information for Shane and his co-host, in this case, John Bruce. And I was just thinking this would be an ultimate opportunity for them to influence the categories this year. So if you have a category that you think we should give a Sports Zoning Award out for, would you please contact either Shane or John or both and let them know what that category would be? That's how you can influence next week's show. And I'm sure you'll probably not only name the category, but also describe exactly what should be in there in your mind. And for the contact information, you know, email is a possibility. Shane's email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. John's email address is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you have either SVC Sports Zone for Shane or Coconut Wall Papa for John Bruce. On Facebook, you can get a hold of Shane where he has two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. You can also call the DBK Media Services voice line, leave a message, 740-569-3254. And if you see our information on Facebook, you're more than welcome and encouraged to share it on Twitter, retweet it, or at least favorite it as well. And if you're giving listen to us on iTunes, how about a review and perhaps even a great rating? Either one. That would help, wouldn't it? So that's the contact information. You want to influence what we give the Sports Zoning Award for, you please do so by contacting either or both of these young gentlemen. And Shane, I think this year I'm looking forward to the gift bag, you know, that you always give out to all the participants as well.
Yes.
A used tea and a wrapper from a Big Mac or something like that. Or maybe a Diet Dew.
Oh, man. John, any final thoughts for us on this show here?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the, you know, baseball teams in the tournament, seeing how we do. Good luck to you guys and the rest of the league as we go. Most of us go separate ways. I think it's the right thing to do to root along with your SVC brothers and sisters as we go into the postseason of the last little bit of the 2020-21 school year, and really look forward to celebrating it next week.
Yeah, that's the idea. You know, next week you kind of wrap it up. By the time we come next week, there's no guarantee how many baseball, softball teams will still be playing. We'll certainly have some track kids move past that particular level, but it'll obviously start to narrow down to the elite. So we'll continue to highlight them on the website. So please make sure to keep checking out svcsportzone.com, and we will always try to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportzone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit svcsportzone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.